I invite you to open your Bible this morning and be finding Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, we are going to be looking at verses 1 through 11 in our message this morning as we continue our series in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 18, beginning at 1, this is what the Word of God says. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am clear of my responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. Crispus, the synagogue ruler, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized. One day the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city." So Paul stayed for a year and a half, teaching them the Word of God. Sam was on trial for shooting at Joe. Joe was on the witness stand, giving his testimony and being questioned by a lawyer. The lawyer said, "Joe, what happened?" And Joe said, "Well, Sam pulled a gun on me, and when I saw that gun, I turned and hightailed it. I mean, I ran away fast, but he shot at me." The lawyer said, "Well, how do you know he shot at you if you were running away?" And Joe said, "Well, because I heard the bullet." The lawyer said, "Well, how can you be sure that you weren't mistaken?" And Joe said, "Well, I actually heard it twice." Lawyer said, "That's impossible. How could you hear the bullet twice?" And he said, "I heard it once when it passed me. I heard it again when I passed it." Believe it or not, the mighty Apostle Paul, when he was in Corinth, was afraid. The mighty, bold, brash Apostle Paul was afraid, and we believe that he even considered quitting and maybe running away. When Paul wrote to Corinth after this visit, he talked to them about how he came to their city. And you know what he said? He said, "I came in weakness and fear, with much trembling." That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3. Paul says, "I admit it. I was afraid." But Paul faced everything in his life with faith. He faced his fear with faith. And therefore, God helped him through it. I want to notice what happened here in Corinth this morning. And as we notice that, I want us to think about how God can help us face our fear with faith. I want to talk to you about the reality of fear and the reason for it and the remedy for it. First of all, the reality of fear. I don't know about you, but when I'm reading through Acts, I am surprised at verse 9 when the Lord comes to Paul and says, "Paul, don't be afraid." I'm surprised that Paul could be afraid, but he was. And I really shouldn't be surprised, because fear is universal. Fear seems out of context here, and it seems out of character for Paul, but fear is part of the human condition. In fact, I believe fear is the oldest emotion of mankind. Fear is the first emotion that is recorded in the Bible. Genesis chapter 3, after Adam had sinned, he is hiding in the garden from God, and God finds him and says, "Adam, what are you doing?" And in verse 10, Adam says, "I was afraid, and so I hid." That's the first time I read about man having an emotion in the Bible. And then we move forward as we read the book of Genesis, and every major character, Abraham, Sarah, Lot, Isaac, Jacob, Jacob's sons, and on and on and on, every major character in Genesis, it said, at one time or another, they were afraid. John Wayne, that cowboy actor that was so courageous, it seemed, was asked if he ever got afraid. And he said, "Of course I get afraid." But he said, "Courage is just being afraid and saddling up anyway." And someone has wisely said, remember, every person you see is afraid of something. They love something. And they've lost something. And so as I look out this morning over an audience of over 200 people, I know you are afraid of something, and I want you to know God can help. Fear is universal as we think about the reality of it, but it's also useful. God made us so that we could be afraid. Fear is supposed to come on us when we or our loved ones are in danger, and that fear is supposed to motivate us to take action to protect ourselves, and that is a good thing. Some of you heard me tell about Bear Bryant when he was coaching at Alabama. It was late in the game, the story goes, and Alabama was up by a narrow margin, had the ball, just had to run the clock out. He sent the quarterback in, said, "Don't throw the ball. Don't take the risk." Well, the quarterback took a snap and dropped back, and he saw a wide open receiver. He could not resist it, so he threw the ball. Cornerback on the other team was the fastest player on the field, and he was waiting for it. And so he sprang toward that ball, and he got it, and he intercepted it, and he's running for the winning touchdown. And somehow that quarterback, who was slow of foot, ran him down and tackled him to end the game. Alabama won. The two coaches meet after the game at midfield to shake hands, and the other coach said, "Coach Bryant, I don't know how you do it." He said, "There is no way that your boy could have run down my boy. There's just no way." Bear Bryant said, "Well, the difference is your boy was running for a touchdown. My boy was running for his life." Fear gives us a burst of energy, a burst of strength, a burst of motivation so that we can act. To protect us, to protect our loved ones. Fear is designed to come when danger comes and leave when danger leaves. And for so many of us, fear comes and it stays and it's always there. It turns into anxiety. When fear comes and stays, it's a problem. And when fear comes and threatens to ruin our ministry, when it threatens to shut our mouths instead of speaking for Christ, when it tends to get us off of our God-given mission to love Him and serve Him and love and serve others, then fear becomes a problem that we must have God's help to face. The reality of fear. Number two, let's think about the reason for fear. How could Paul be afraid? Well, there are at least three things I think that might have been a factor here. Number one could have been failure. Paul came to Corinth from Athens, and Paul did not have much success in Athens. Verse 34 of Acts 17 says, "A few men became followers of Paul and believed." Paul wasn't used to a few. Paul was used to visiting a city and forming a church and leaving a thriving church in a city. And in Athens, most people just scoffed or ignored. They were intellectuals and they didn't care what Paul had to say for the most part. Many of them sneered at him and at the message. And I think he felt like he had failed to some degree. And now he comes to Corinth, and this was a huge city and a pagan city, and how daunting this must have felt to be here. get an idea what kind of folks there were in Corinth when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You don't have to turn there, but verse 9 says, Paul is writing back to Corinth. He says, "Don't you know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." Listen to verse 11. "And that is what some of you were." What kind of city was Corinth? Man, it had every kind of immorality that you could imagine. And Paul is showing up here and it seems daunting, and he's failed in Athens, he feels like, and he thinks, what if I fail here? Then that's a pattern of failure, and he was afraid of it. I'm a school counselor, as you know, and much of the behavior problems we have at school are really about a fear of failure. You've got a student who is afraid that they're not going to be able to learn the material. They're not going to be able to pass the test. And rather than look like they try and fail, they don't try. And rather than look to everybody like they're trying and failing, they decide, I'm just going to distract and disrupt and get everybody off the course here. And really deep down inside, they're afraid they're going to fail and they don't want to try. A second reason for fear for Paul and for us can be fatigue. Paul had been on the road as a missionary for a long time. He had traveled hundreds and hundreds of miles. He had faced every kind of stress imaginable. During the day, Paul worked hard with his hands as a tent maker. And then in the evenings and at night and on the Sabbath, he would preach and he would teach. Can you imagine how tired he was? I've been somebody for the past 2.5 years, and I've been working through the day, and I've been kind of ministering at night and on the weekends, and I can tell you it produces a level of fatigue mentally and emotionally and spiritually that's just hard to describe. And Paul had to be many, many times worse. Vince Lombardi, the famous football coach for the Green Bay Packers, said, and he was right, I believe, "Fatigue makes cowards of us all." When we're tired, we feel more afraid of everything and more ready to give up. There was a man out shoveling his snow in the driveway. And as he worked, two boys showed up and they had shovels across their shoulder. And I said, "Mister, we'll shovel your driveway for $5. And the man looked at him and said, "Well, can't you tell I'm doing it myself?" And the boy said, "Well, yes, sir, that's why I'm asking. We get most of our business from people who are halfway through and feel like quitting." And I think Paul was fatigued, and he wasn't at the beginning of this missionary journey, but he wasn't at the end of it either. And he was right there in the middle when people tend to get tired and start thinking about quitting. Fatigue was a factor. And then another factor, and the final one we'll mention, is just foreboding. I think Paul looked at what was developing in Corinth and it scared him. We see in verse 6 that the Jews had opposed Paul and already they had become abusive. When Paul went to a town, as I've said many times before, he didn't ask about the hotels. He asked about the prisons because he was going to end up there usually. There was a pattern when Paul went to a city. He usually went and he started preaching and teaching. He had some initial success and then there was some opposition and then that opposition increased. And before you know it, he's in physical danger. By the time Paul gets to Corinth, he had already been arrested and imprisoned and beaten and stoned and left for dead and chased out of cities fleeing for his life. And now the Jews are starting to get riled up here, and he looks and he sees what's coming, and surely he has this feeling of foreboding. So those are the reasons for Paul's fear and the reason sometimes for our fear as well. Now let's get to the good stuff, the remedy. There are four things that God does for believers when we are afraid that can help. Let's notice them quickly. Number one, God gives us communication to counsel us. God gives us communication. He gives us a message to counsel us. Verse 9, the Lord spoke to Paul and said, "Do not be afraid." God didn't abandon Paul for being afraid. God stayed. God came. And God helped. And God will do the same for you. When you are feeling emotions that you don't like, when you are going through situations that are tough and they bring those negative emotions, look for the lesson. Look for the message that God is sending, because there is one, and you can find it and you can grow because of it. Someone has said, focus on the hurt and you will continue to suffer. Focus on the lesson and you will continue to grow. When you are in a situation that brings a negative emotion like fear, ask, what is God teaching me here? How is God growing me here? How is this strain going to make me strong? The answer's there. And by seeking for it and finding it, you're going to be encouraged. The remedy for fear. First of all, God gives us communication to counsel us. Number two, God gives us friends to cheer us. Paul had friends here in Corinth. And God had arranged it so I believe they could be there with him and help him. There was Aquila and Priscilla. They were Christians. They were also tent makers. So they had that in common with Paul. Paul stayed with them. Verse 5, we see Silas and Timothy, co-ministers of Paul, that come on the scene. And they're there to help him. God says, I've got people in this city, in verse 10. There are other believers here, and they're going to help you as well. God sends us friends to cheer us when we are afraid. William Wilberforce fought to end slavery in Britain. He'd been fighting for years and getting nowhere, and he was tired and he was weary, and he considered giving up the fight. Wilberforce went to visit his friend, John Wesley. John Wesley was a powerful preacher. By this time, he was elderly and he's very, very sick. Wilberforce shared his discouragement with Wesley. And here's what John Wesley said to Wilberforce. He said, unless God has raised you up for this very thing, you will be worn out by the opposition of men and devils. But if God be for you, who can be against you? Are they stronger than God? Be not weary in well-doing. Go in the name of God and in the power of his might. John Wesley died 6 days after that, but William Wilberforce was encouraged and he continued to fight. In fact, he fought 45 more years for that cause that God put on his heart. And 3 days before William Wilberforce died, he saw Britain abolish slavery. When you're afraid, surround yourselves with courageous Christian friends. Their emotion will be contagious and you will catch it. Surround yourselves with positive, hopeful, faithful friends and watch as your courage begins to grow. Number three, a remedy for fear. God gives us communication to counsel us, friends to cheer us, and work to challenge us. Listen to what the Lord said to Paul again in verse 9. The Lord said, do not be afraid. And by the way, that's don't be afraid any longer. The verb tense there is a present tense. So it's stop being afraid. Don't be afraid any longer, Paul. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. God says, Paul, you've got work to do. You've got a mission to challenge you. And that was going to help Paul deal with this fear. You know, work's a good thing. We complain, and I do, about being busy. Do you know we need to be busy? Do you know that busy is blessed? Do you know that activity is awesome? Do you know that going is good? Adam was in paradise. Things could not have been any better. And God said, you got a job to do. Tend this garden and keep it. It was part of the paradise. And when I am struggling with any kind of a negative emotion, fear or depression, I need to get myself busy doing good things. I need to decide what I value and what is important to me, and then I need to get up in the morning and I need to put those values into action during that day. And I'm going to find I'm too busy to have these negative emotions I don't like. Paul had work to challenge him, and we need work to challenge us. And finally, Paul had promises to comfort him. When we're afraid, God gives promises to comfort us. We don't live by explanations. We live by promises. God says in verse 10, the Lord comes to Paul and he says, don't be afraid. Keep on speaking. Don't be silent. Verse 10, for I am with you. I haven't left. And no one is going to attack you and harm you because I have many people in this city. We think that might have been a prediction where God is using his foreknowledge to know what's going to happen. There didn't seem to be many Christians in Corinth yet. But God, I believe, wanted to cheer Paul and say, there are people here who are going to be responsive to the message. You sow the seed and it's going to grow. It's going to work here. You're not going to fail. God gave Paul a promise to comfort him, and he gives us promises to comfort us. I have a quarter here. Think about how small that is. Darren mentioned the sun being out today. Think about this quarter in relation to the sun. How much smaller is this quarter than the sun? A billion times? I don't know, a trillion times? But you know, it is possible for me to take this tiny quarter and hold it so close to my eye that it blocks out the whole sun. This tiny quarter can block my vision of that enormous sun. Problems are like that too. And we can look at them so closely and hold them so tightly and give all of our attention to them, and a small problem, to God, it's nothing. God is infinitely bigger than that problem. But if I put all of my focus and hold it this close to me, it can block my vision of the presence of God. Paul is told by God, don't let that happen. I'm with you. Don't focus on these problems, failure, fatigue, foreboding, opposition, persecution. Don't focus on those. But focus on me and my presence and my promises, and you'll be a courageous Christian. Glance at your problems. Gaze at your Lord. The remedy for fear, God says, I'll give you communication, a message from me to counsel you. I'll give you friends to cheer you. I'll give you a work to challenge you, and I'll give you promises to confront you. And everything that God offered to Paul, he offers to you in your fear. May God help us to face fear with faith. We said earlier that fear can be a good thing, and it can be. Fear can motivate us to take action that we need to take. And Jesus says as much. Do you know Jesus tells you to be afraid? Matthew 10:28, Jesus says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. But rather be afraid of the one, capital O, one, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. There is a hell, and I'm afraid of it, and I'm going to avoid it. And that is not my only motivation to serve God, but it's part of it. And may I encourage you, if you are not a Christian, if you have sin standing between you and God, open, unconfessed, unrepented of sin standing between you and God, then yes. Yes, there's something to be afraid of. But remember that God is here and he is ready to forgive and he is ready to make things right with you. And he is ready to put you on that path where you can live courageously. If you need to make things right with him, we want to offer you an opportunity to do that. If you're not a baptized believer, we want to offer you that wonderful opportunity as we close this morning. Just come and say, I'm a sinner. He's a Savior. I'm turning from my sin. I'm turning to Him. I want to put Him on in baptism. I want to live a courageous and faithful life. I want Him to bless me here and hereafter. I want that. If you want to come and say that this morning, then we're ready to hear your confession, help you with baptism, and encourage you and support you in any way we can. Come right now as together we stand and as we sing.